Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This season of Advent is a season of expectation. I was having a conversation with my mother-in-law this week, and we were talking with one of her friends. And the friend had married into a Catholic family, and there was this exchange about table graces. And the friend said, "Do all the Protestants say, 'Come, Lord Jesus'?" And I had to stop and think a little bit. I said, "Well, I think most of us grew up as a table grace, we said, 'Come, Lord Jesus.' But there were those regional and denominational variants. Are we blessing this food or are we blessing these gifts? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let, what did your family say? These gifts, this food, to us be blessed." But every meal was an Advent prayer. "Come, Lord Jesus." Now, somewhere in the mix, I think Christians haven't completely decided whether this is a good anticipation of Christ coming or a fearful one. And our gospel texts don't always help us because they sometimes sound rather fearful. What kind of anticipation do you have for the presence of Christ? A fearful anticipation? A good anticipation? I think I've told you this one before, but during that year that I worked at Office Max between calls, we would unload the truck at like 4:30 in the morning before there were any customers anywhere near us. That was my favorite part of the job. No customers. But I would often, this was really against the rules, work barefoot in the morning. I just had socks on because my shoes weren't all that comfortable. And I could get just as much done. So one day, I was working in the morning, and I left my shoes and a sweatshirt and my water bottle all next to a pallet of boxes of reamed paper. And I was working in another part of the store, and all of a sudden I heard this man scream, "She's been raptured!" Now, Christ did not come back while I was working at Office Max. But how do we look forward to that day when we will receive our King? Will it be with anticipation and joy? Will it be with terrifying fear? I think a lot of times Christians portray that terrifying fear onto others. They think, you know, if you don't stack up to this, the end will come. And try to scare people into the loving arms of Jesus. It just doesn't work. Actually, it does work some, but it certainly doesn't portray the Jesus that we know, that we follow. So I want you to be thinking about reunions. As we're in this holiday season, I know for most people there are reunions that you look forward to, and perhaps reunions that you don't look forward to. What makes them different? The kids and I went and spent the night and Thanksgiving Day with some dear old friends on Thanksgiving. These friends had known our children, well, since David was 4 or 5. And their child and our children got into all sorts of mischief with each other in the theater, and playing in tree houses in the backyards. And they knew everything about us, and we knew everything about each other. And so every time we get together, it's like we've never been apart. We're just going to continue the conversation. That's the kind of reunion I like. We know each other. We understand each other. We can say whatever we want in front of each other. Because we know each other, we don't have to agree. But because we love each other. Is that the kind of reunion you expect with Jesus? As you pray to God every day, is that your relationship? Lord Jesus, I'm having a great day and I want you to come along with me. Or come, Lord Jesus, I'm having an awful day. And there's some words I need to say that only you should hear. Come, Lord Jesus. And when you see world events, and you see wars, and earthquakes, and famines, and floods, and fires, who do you want to carry that to? Come, Lord Jesus. And in that grand reunion that we will all have one day, the face-to-face, what do you imagine? Is it a God with a clipboard that's going to have a check mark for every wrongdoing that you've done in your lifetime? I hope not. I hope that day by day we wake up in the morning and, as Martin Luther says, we die to sin and rise anew to newness of life. We confess our sin. We do our best to love God and neighbor. And if we get it wrong, we ask forgiveness and we try again the next day. Another image. When Vince and I moved into our first parsonage, it was just a big, lovely house. And after spending 10 years in school, it was, 4-year bachelor, 2-year master's, and 4-year divinity degree. living in apartments that whole time. We had a first house. And it was grand. It was like Bankston Hall in its best days. And we wanted to invite my parents because they only lived a few hours away. At that time, that was really close. 4 hours in North Dakota is not bad. It's kind of like Illinois. But we wanted the house to look perfect because this was the first time my parents were coming to see us in a real house. And so we're cleaning, we're polishing, we're vacuuming. And as I'm vacuuming in the living room, they pull up early. But the house isn't perfect. So we go out and greet my parents. And they come in. And what would happen when they come in? My mother grabs the vacuum cleaner and finishes the living room. And I think that is what that great reunion will be like. None of us is sin-free, though we want to do our best for God. We want to love our neighbor as ourselves. But none of us is going to meet Jesus sinless and perfectly holy. But what Jesus does is complete the work. Jesus is the one who makes us worthy. I've started taking communion to Heartland Nursing Home now on the first Sunday of every month. I just started last month. And Naomi Law is the volunteer person who's been coordinating this with me. And she said, "Pastor, it doesn't matter what denomination they are. You know, if they will receive communion, give them communion." And I'm like, I'm all over that. That's a good thing. So there's one little lady that comes, and she's Catholic, and I bless her. But there's another woman that Naomi brought, and she said, "Do your best, Pastor." And the woman said, "I'm not worthy. I can't take communion because I'm not worthy." I've heard this before. It was a divorced man in my first parish. He said, "Pastor, I don't take communion because I'm not worthy." Well, that Sunday afternoon, what I said to this woman is, it is this communion, it is the body and blood of Jesus that makes you worthy. This is the body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. And she took communion. Do you understand how precious these gifts are? The gifts of God for the people of God. None of us is worthy. But in Christ we are one. We are welcomed. We are received. And we need not ever fear praying, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come and be with us as we worship. Come and be with us at mealtime. Come and be with us at the beginning and the end of our days." We ought to be in prayer at least that much. But come. Come, Lord Jesus, in the fulfillment of time, in the fullness of time, and let your kingdom be known. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.